This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
In this edition today, our bulletin of church news to be followed by panorama and then our feature of development and the economy. Today we shall close with a gospel reflection by Father Enobong Udaidong. My name is Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba. Pope Francis had a restful night at Rome's Gemelli Hospital, where he has been receiving treatment for double pneumonia since February 14th. The Pope had a restful night and woke up shortly after 8 hours. The Holy See Press Office explained in a statement to journalists on Friday morning. The statement from the Holy See Press Office went on to say that the Holy Father on Friday morning continued with his prescribed therapy, including motor physiotherapy. The medical team is alternating between mechanical ventilation at night and high-flow supplemental oxygen during the day with the use of nasal cannula. The situation, the report says, appears stable in the context of a complex picture. Given the fact that the clinical condition of Pope Francis remained stable on Thursday, that is, without any episodes of respiratory insufficiency, the Holy See Press Office said that the next medical bulletin will be issued on Saturday. It, however, advised that the press office will continue to provide brief updates on the Holy Father. Before the start of the recitation of the Rosary in St. Peter's Square praying for the health of Pope Francis on Thursday night, Pope Francis sent an audio message in which he expressed his heartfelt gratitude for all the prayers and expressions of closeness that he has received. He extended a blessing to everyone and reminded them he is accompanying them from the hospital.
Que hace por mi salud desde la plaza. Los acompaño desde acá. Que Dios los bendiga. Y que la Virgen cuide. Gracias.
During the press briefing on Friday morning, the director of the Vatican Press Office, Matteo Bruni, clarified the fact that it was the Pope's personal wish to have his audio message broadcast at the start of the Rosary in St. Peter's Square on Thursday night. Bruni said that Pope Francis wanted to express his gratitude to everyone for the countless prayers offered on his behalf, through which he feels carried and supported by the entire people of God. The fifth major jubilee event will take place this weekend at the Vatican. It will bring together non-government organizations, NGOs, and volunteer organizations from 5 different continents. On Saturday, following a pilgrimage to the Holy Door of St. Peter's Basilica, the pilgrims will take part in a series of discussions and meetings in different locations spread across the city of Rome. On Sunday, March 9th at 10:30 hours, the prefect of the Dicastery for Promoting Integral Human Development, Cardinal Mike Cheney, will preside over a Mass in St. Peter's Square. During the Mass, he will read the homily prepared by Pope Francis for the occasion. The Holy Father has erected the new Diocese of Bagamoyo in Tanzania, with territory taken from the Metropolitan Archdiocese of Dar es Salaam and the Diocese of Morogoro, making it a suffragan of the Metropolitan See of Dar es Salaam. Pope Francis has appointed, at the same time, Bishop Stefano Lameki Musomba as first bishop of the newly erected diocese. The Augustinian priest was, until his appointment, the titular bishop of Pedices and auxiliary of Dar es Salaam. Bishop Stefano Musomba was born on 25th September 1969 in the village of Malonji in the Metropolitan Archdiocese of Mbeya. He entered the Order of St. Augustine and received priestly ordination on 24th July 2003. Also on Friday, the Holy Father appointed Reverend Armand Kone as Metropolitan Archbishop of the Diocese of Korogo in Ivory Coast. He was, until his appointment, the delegate vicar of the Archdiocese of Korogo. Monsignor Armand Kone was born on 29th July 1969 in Kuto, in Cote d'Ivoire. He was ordained a priest on 11th October 2008. As the 2025 Lenten season begins, the Catholic Archbishop of Abuja, Ignatius Kaigama, is reminding the faithful to focus on three major areas in life that need transformation during this Lenten period.
It's a lovely season we all look forward to, but it is not as joyful as Christmas and Easter, so this is a penitential one. It calls us to sacrifice, to penance, and I see Lent on three levels. One is the personal, individual level, and then the other is the level of the neighbor, the person you see, created in the image and likeness of God. And the third level is God himself. So we are called to walk on these three levels. First of all, we begin with ourselves, asking God to help us to undergo a great transformation, spiritual, internal, interior transformation. Because when we are transformed, definitely the impact would be great on society and even on our families, the church and all. So we focus on the individual, that is me as an individual. How do I ask God to help me change from a way that is not good to a way that is good? From a selfish way to a self-giving way? From hatred to love and from doing evil to doing good? So we pray for that personal interior transformation.
Archbishop of Abuja Ignatius Kaigama with that Lenten message. You are tuned to the Daily Africa service of Vatican Radio.
African News Panorama.
Reports from Mozambique say the country's president, Daniel Chapo, has signed an agreement with several civil society groups and with religious and political opposition leaders to restore political and social stability after months of deadly protests that followed the general elections held in October last year. The president did not, however, invite to the talks opposition leader Venancio Mondlane, who says he won last October's presidential election. President Chapo has called for reconciliation in the country. The president of Kenya, William Ruto, in his capacity as chairman of the East African Community, has called upon the president of South Sudan, Salva Kiir, and Vice President Riek Machar to put their differences aside and engage in a constructive dialogue. The call comes after the government of South Sudan arrested on Tuesday senior officials of Machar's political organization, known as Sudan People's Liberation Movement, in opposition. Those arrested included General Gabriel Dupo Lam, who heads the military wing of the organization. The arrests came after a militia group known as the White Army captured a strategic town in Upper Nile State near the Ethiopian border after fighting government troops. The group is known to be sympathetic to Riek Machar. The former president of the Democratic Republic of Congo, Joseph Kabila, has initiated talks with opposition political leaders and civil society groups about the country's political future following the capture of big territory in the east by M23 rebels. The discussions started this week outside the capital Kinshasa, and different participants said President Felix Tshisekedi is a potential danger to peace and should, for the good of the country, leave office. Mr. Kabila has acknowledged that M23 rebels have a legitimate cause and called for their inclusion in the peace process. You are tuned to the English Africa service of Vatican Radio.
This is Development and Economy. Welcome to the program. My name is Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba. In resonance with the scripture and the teachings of the Catholic Church, when Saint John Paul II proclaimed the Holy Year 2000, he also exhorted the faithful and all the people of goodwill to observe the Jubilee efforts of the Catholic Church to work for the forgiveness or just restructuring of the foreign debt of the world's poorest countries. Proclaiming the Jubilee 2025, Pope Francis, like his predecessor, also appealed to the world's wealthiest nations to acknowledge the gravity of so many of their past decisions and determined to forgive the debts of countries that will never be able to repay them. The United Nations reports that 19 developing countries are spending more on debt interest than on education and 45 more on debt interest than on health. And in line with the biblical principles for a jubilee, Pope Francis has called for international reforms that will bring long-lasting relief to the poor and promote care for the earth. No one can have an easy conscience knowing there is a multitude of brothers and sisters who are hungry and submerged in social exclusion and vulnerability, the Pope has said. Letting this happen is a sin, a human sin. Even if one does not have faith, it is a social sin, Pope Francis has emphasized. Eric LeConte is the executive director of Jubilee United States of America Network, an alliance of faith-based development and debt relief advocacy organizations. He has on several occasions been one of the guest speakers at a number of conferences at the Vatican on the question of debt relief for the world's poor countries. In this program, Eric LeConte speaks with Vatican Radio and explains the fact that the call of Pope Francis for debt relief is being manifested in more than 160 countries and is having a global impact.
Pope Francis has really been one of the greatest leaders on these issues. And it's important to note that while Pope John Paul II and Pope Benedict were strong leaders and made strong calls on global debt relief and economic aid to benefit the world's poorest people, a distinction with Pope Francis is Pope Francis was directly affected by these economic policies when he was the prelate and the leader of Argentina. Argentina going through a major financial crisis that led to major challenges for his people in terms of cuts to health care, cuts to social services, poverty increasing because of the debt and financial crisis that Argentina was under. And it was Pope Francis that really was the singular and true leader in Argentina for his people. And he really began his pontificate by noting that we need to have a global economy that provides for everyone. I like to tell people the 2015 speech that Pope Francis gave to the United Nations when he came to New York and addressed the General Assembly, the presidents and prime ministers of the world. It was the most important speech the Holy Father ever gave, but no one understood it. Because Pope Francis, for the first time in World Fora, was calling for the implementation of a bankruptcy-like change or process to the international financial system in order to alleviate poverty, to deal with climate issues, to deal with migration. And at the heart of all of the world's problems, what Pope Francis has continued to say, these are economic issues like debt. So Pope Francis convened us and financial ministers on June 5th of 2024 at the Holy See, and he gave a very powerful speech around the theme of the Jubilee Year, that just like John Paul II said the Jubilee Year had to be about debt relief, Pope Francis said, yes, it must be about debt relief again, but now we need debt relief and economic aid to be able to address poverty, inequality, and climate issues. And even more importantly, we need to finish the unfinished work of Jubilee 2000 in Jubilee 2025 by now creating an international bankruptcy process within the financial system. And so that was the first of many speeches that the Holy Father has given about calling for the themes of debt relief, of ending the death penalty, improving migration as this year of hope, as we are pilgrims of hope. And then we joined Pope Francis on Christmas Eve when he delivered a very powerful homily, again raising these issues. As you know, noted, he raised them again in his World Day of Peace message. He raised it again on Christmas Day, New Year's Day, and with Caritas Internationalis and the largest relief entities of the church and bishops' conferences across the world, on December 23rd, we took Pope Francis's message to launch 5 years of campaigns. We did this right at the Holy See, thanks to the Holy See Press Office and the Dicastery of Communications, with Caritas Internationalis and global Catholic relief agencies all over the world. We launched campaigns on the Holy Father's message in 160 countries for 5 years, because we know all of the processes we need to win on debt relief, on economic aid, on moving forward and creating this new international bankruptcy process that the Holy Father is calling for. We can't achieve this in 1 year. It's why Jubilee 2025, for us and Caritas Internationalis, the global Jubilee movement, means that this is 5 years of ambition, passion, and work to implement what the Holy Father has called for.
And this could seem a bit overwhelming just on the surface to people who don't understand the intricacies, but in a practical way, could you explain, like, what are some of those best practices? What are the concrete things that happen or need to happen in order to effectuate this, in order to actually make progress in this regard?
Yes. So, you know, debt relief is really important. And from Pope John Paul II's call and the creation of the Jubilee movement to follow his call in 1997 of World Youth Day, what that meant is we moved forward policies and changes within the international financial system, at the United Nations, with the G7 governments, with the G20 governments, the wealthiest, most powerful governments of the world, with this entity that we believe is the second most powerful entity after the U.S.'s White House, the International Monetary Fund, which affects our jobs and lives almost as much as the very oxygen we breathe. It's the primary institution which governs our global economic and financial system. But because of that initial call from Pope John Paul II, not only did Catholics rally around the world, but we were joined by Jews, by Muslims, by Hindus, by Sikhs, to implement the Holy Father's call, and major religious leaders moved forward, and we started to make changes in terms of how the international financial system operates. We won several major global agreements endorsed by the Catholic Church, the Heavily Indebted Poor Countries Initiative, and the Multilateral Debt Relief Initiative in the early 2000s. Those sound like a big mouthful. But what those things actually mean, Deborah, is it means that we won actual policies that resulted in $130 billion in debt relief. It means right now, because of debt relief, the most accountable form of economic aid that is delivered through the global financial system, it means 54 million kids in Africa have gone and are going to school who never would have seen the inside of a classroom. It means amazingly and authoritatively that people all over the world in the world's poorest countries, for the first time in their lives, were able to see a doctor or were able to get vaccines or health care. So the movement began out of that. But when we're talking about this bankruptcy-like process or system that Pope Francis is now calling for, when we're talking about that, it's more than just debt relief. It's about continuing and creating a process that can make sure that countries no longer get in debt. So right now, the majority of the world's countries are dealing with deep debt crises and deep financial crises. This was compounded by the pandemic, and because of the pandemic, what has happened is we've seen poverty in particular for children and women move to extreme levels. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people have now entered extreme poverty around the world. And there's very little hope of getting out of poverty because these countries are in deep debt, economic and financial crises.
Eric LeConte, Executive Director of Jubilee USA Network, speaking there with Vatican Radio's Deborah Lubav about how the call of Pope Francis for debt relief is being manifested in more than 160 countries and how it is having a global impact. And that is all we have time for in this edition of Development and the Economy. Until next week, at the same time, my name is Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba.
Coming up next, a reflection on this Sunday's readings, prepared and presented by Father Enobong Udaidyong.
Here we are again in the season of Lent, a special season dedicated to prayer, fasting, and works of charity. A time we journey with Christ through the desert for 40 days, contemplating with him on the important mission he has to accomplish for our salvation in the coming days. Oh, what a great privilege it is that at a time like this, we are called to intensify prayers for peace in our world, a time to cling to God and seek his mercy and grace. The invitation to pray, fast, and do works of charity, the signature activities of this season for every Christian, shows how important these activities are in our lives. Many of us Christians do claim we have prayed enough, we have fasted enough, but can we also say we have done enough charitable works? This first Sunday of Lent, we are specially invited to reflect on the temptation of Jesus in the desert after he had fasted for 40 days. The experience of Christ in the desert shows that as followers of Christ, we are up for this encounter whenever we want to do the will of God. There are different ways temptations come to us. Christ was able to confront the devil when he was tempted through the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. He was able to also confront the devil through the discipline of fasting, and he was in constant communion with the Father through prayers. With these, then, Christ shows us the way to overcome the temptations that come our way. We have to know that temptations are a necessary part of our Christian life, and it is by overcoming these temptations that we can do the will of God. Christ had a mission to fulfill, and the temptations were meant to dissuade him from accomplishing that mission. Every one of us has a mission to fulfill, and that mission is to do good. That mission is fulfilled by striving to avoid the occasions of sin and not relenting in doing the will of the Father. Daily we are confronted with the choice of abandoning this mission because, as we often say, it is not easy to do the will of God. Even when we claim that it is not easy, God's love for us abounds. He can never allow those who believe in him to be put to shame. Temptations may come, but by allowing ourselves to be guided by the Spirit of God and then empowering ourselves with the Word of God, God's power is made manifest in our lives. And so in our distress, God is with us. In our trials, he is with us. In our sufferings, he is our companion. There is always that part of us that makes us feel that God is far from us when we are facing difficulties of life. But we must realize that when we cling to him in love, he will deliver us and give us victory. This came true for Christ in the desert. He trusted in God, and he did not take for granted the need to fast and pray. And so he teaches us not to take for granted our closeness to God in prayer and fasting, and then in our commitment to good works. Let us re-examine our Christian commitment during this Lenten season, and then strive to improve where we are lacking, so as to merit the just reward that is ours in Christ. Many of us pray a lot. Many of us do fast. Some of us can fast for days and weeks, but for some of us, these pious activities unfortunately do not match up with the charitable work we are meant to do to promote the good. Let us all take this period of Lent to intensify in doing good works that will concretely bring to manifestation our prayers and fasting. Faith without good works, St. James says, is dead. Let us pray for the grace of a fulfilled Lenten observance and above all the manifestation of the glory of God in our world. May the message of Christ in all its richness continue to find a home in our hearts through the same Christ, our Lord. Amen. Peace be with you.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus.
This is the Africa Service of Vatican Radio, and I am Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.